Good morning and welcome to our New Year's service today as we prepare our hearts for the end of the year coming this week and also for the preparing for the new year to come. We keep in mind God's grace, His undeserved love and kindness, the forgiveness of sins we've been given through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we also are concentrating today on how He gets that grace to us, namely through the sacraments and also through the Word. We talk about the means of grace as the gospel, as it's found in the Word and sacraments. That's how God gives us His grace. Today we'll be looking at the sacraments and baptism and communion. And we'll be singing our favorite hymns in between. Now, if you'd like to look at, if you don't know what your favorite hymn is and want to know if we have it in our hymnal, in the back of the hymnal there is a table of contents beginning on page 846, way in the back of the hymnal. And the supplement hymnal, that little tan hymnal, has a table of contents in the back too. It's just a couple pages back in the back. So you can take a look, and if you haven't picked one out, that'll help you. Let's open our service today with a prayer. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you for the blessings of your grace this past year. We look forward to this coming year of 2013 because we know that every good gift and perfect gift is from you, and you will continue to shower down both spiritually and physically all the things that we need. Direct us then to act in ways that reflect the light of your grace, so that in Jesus' name we might do your will. Through him who is your very Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We'll open with the first two stanzas of hymn number 716. That's in the TAN Worship Supplement. Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts for this celebration of God's grace in the year past and in the year to come comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 3 to 4, and it reads, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin.
He condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. That is the Word of God for our consideration today. We pray that the Holy Spirit work through that Word and give us the Spirit-filled meaning to comfort our hearts, to increase our faith, and to keep us in God's grace in this coming year. This Christmas, we were reminded again of the good tidings of great joy, which the angel announced to the shepherds, that will be to all people. It was to us again, wasn't it? Got to unwrap that present once again, that gift of God, from God to us. That was good news for sinners like us. In these verses, the Apostle Paul, in the beginning verses of the eighth chapter of the book of Romans, gives us a reminder of why God sent his Son. He talks about the law, and he talks about the solution for fulfilling the law. Now, as we go here, we're going to be talking about the sacraments, and we'll be reciting from Luther's Catechism the definition of what the sacraments are. It's good to know, terms and to define terms before we go, because there's a lot of churches that understand the word sacrament differently than the way we do or the way we teach. And real simply, a sacrament has to fulfill three criteria. First of all, it has to be instituted by Christ. He's got to start it. Second of all, it has to have an earthly element connected with God's Word. So in baptism, the element is water. In communion, the elements are bread and wine. But it's always connected with God's Word. Thirdly, and most importantly, a sacrament gives the forgiveness of sins. So with those three criteria of what constitutes a sacrament, we go forward realizing that the Bible does only teach two sacraments, baptism and communion. It's important that we remind ourselves of how God has decided to get his grace to us. Because there's a lot of people that say, no, God works in all kinds of different ways. He'll come to you in your feelings, or he'll come to you in your dreams, or give you a vision, or out in nature God will come to you. You know, not that God isn't there out in nature, he is. Not that God isn't always present, even when we're dreaming, he is. But you see, the Bible teaches very clearly that God has restricted himself, not us, but himself, to using three ways of giving us his undeserved love and kindness, of giving us the gospel. I always tell my confirmation students, it's the Holy Spirit who does this work. That's his job, right? The Holy Spirit calls, sanctifies, gathers the whole Christian church on earth. He does it through the Word. And I always tell my kids, that's a lot of work that the Holy Spirit does. He's a worker. And if you could put a tool belt on the Holy Spirit, there would be three things hanging on it. There would be a Bible. There would be the sacraments, baptism and communion. Those are the three ways through which God has limited himself to give us his grace, his good news. Okay, with that defined, we can understand some of the things we're going to be talking about here. Now, back to our text in Romans chapter 8. What the law could not do, begins the verses. For what the law could not do. Well, what could not the law do? Let's start with what the law can do. What can God's law do? What does the Ten Commandments do for us? Well, very clearly, it shows us we're sinners. The law definitely shows you where you failed and what you've done wrong and what you didn't do that you should have done. In other words, the law very clearly accuses you without ever excusing you. The law never says, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. The law always says, God says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holy is perfect, without sin. So you see, the Ten Commandments aren't just a, do your best at it. No. God expects perfect keeping of the law. That's what righteousness is, the perfect keeping of God's law. What could the law not do? We know what it can do. It condemns us. What could it not do? It can't save us. That doesn't make the law bad. I mean, if you could keep the Ten Commandments and all the other laws of God perfectly, then the law could save you. But which of us have kept the law perfectly? We haven't. We haven't done it for one day, let alone our whole lives through. You can't keep the law, so the law cannot save you. It can't save us. In fact, the text says, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law could save you if your flesh could keep the Ten Commandments. But because your flesh, and anybody have doubts about that, just give yourself a pinch. Anybody who can feel that pain, you're made of flesh, human flesh. The Bible says that which is of the flesh is flesh. If you're born to sinful parents, you too are sinful. And that is going to fail you when it comes to trying to get to heaven. The law is weak through the flesh. Our sinful flesh makes the law ineffectual for salvation. It doesn't work. So what the law couldn't do, here's the good news. God did. It's just as simple as that. Two words. God did. God saved us. And he tells us how. By sending his own son. Didn't we just get done with this celebration? By sending his own son to that stable in Bethlehem, to that lowly birth, born of a virgin, announced to the shepherds, promised of old through all the Old Testament prophets, this Messiah was sent. When the time was right, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. God has adopted us because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. He put himself under the law and kept the law, and then offered up his life as a sacrifice on the cross, shedding his perfect blood as the perfect sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine and the sins of the world. What does our text say? Jesus was born in the likeness of sinful flesh. Contrary to what a lot of people think, you wouldn't have been able to point Jesus out in a crowd of Jewish men and women, in a regular crowd. He didn't glow, he didn't have a halo, he didn't look especially perfect. He took on the likeness of sinful flesh, although he wasn't a sinner himself, and he never sinned. The Lamb of God was without spot and without blemish. He never sinned, so he could take that life to the cross and offer it up as the perfect sacrifice that would take care of our sins once and for all. And he did that. The text says, he condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't that great? Instead of sin condemning us, Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. He nailed our sins to the cross that day. When he was buried, all our sins were buried with him, never to rise again. Oh, they rise in our hearts, don't they? The devil likes to remind us we're sinners and we can't deserve what God has done for us. Even our own minds, our own consciences accuse us. But what the Bible promises is that he condemns sin. Why? So that the righteous requirement of the law, keeping the law perfectly, that's the requirement. It's required if you want to get to heaven. That's been fulfilled in you, in me, in us, through faith. He fulfilled it for us in our behalf. Having done this, having accomplished his mission, how does he keep it going in our lives? How does he keep us strong in the faith? Well, one of the ways is through the hearing of his word. He keeps we talk about the means of grace, the way in which God keeps reminding us of these great truths, through the hearing of the word. The means of grace is the gospel as it's found in the word and in the sacraments, baptism and communion. So therefore, it is a good thing for us, like on a day like today, to remind ourselves of what the sacraments do for us, what baptism means to us every day, what going to the Lord's table does for us. Most importantly, of course, it forgives our sins. It gives us God's grace, his undeserved kindness and favor. So God gets the good news to sinners, the glad tidings of great joy to us through the means of grace. That's the way he's chosen to save us. Today, we look back over the year past. We remember how God uses the sacraments to give us the forgiveness of sins earned for us by Jesus. Remember the definition of a sacrament? Instituted by Christ, an earthly element connected with God's Word, and gives the forgiveness of sins. Wow. That's what a sacrament is. And that's the way God, the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts and lives. That's how He kept us in the faith all last year. That's how He's going to keep us in the faith this coming year. And finally, until He takes us to Himself in heaven through the gospel as it's found in word and sacraments. We'll recite the sacraments, baptism and communion, as they're explained in Luther's Small Catechism. Keep in mind that Luther wrote the Small Catechism. He wrote about the sacraments. He put them in a simple, easy-to-understand terms, backed, of course, by what the Bible says. But he put them in simple terms so that we could learn them and teach them to our families and always refer to them to help us and remind us of God's great grace and mercy. Okay, so right now we're going to start with the first favorite hymns. What I'm going to do is, as we go here, we'll sing favorite hymns in between the readings. And what I'd like to do is take one from each side. And we'll start, well, there's more on this side, so that might change towards the end. So let's start on this side. Does anybody have a favorite hymn they'd like to have us sing? How Great Thou Art. Now, another thing is, some of these hymns have eight or more verses. And if we do a lot of favorite hymns, I mean, I love to be in church as much as you do, but we're going to be here till way in the afternoon. So let's just sing a verse or two of each hymn. Try to keep it to one verse. But and I realize that there are some hymns that you almost have to sing every verse. So I won't. If you'd like to sing them all, just say so, and we'll see what happens. But Bonnie, you want to sing How Great Thou Art. That's hymn 744. And how many verses would you like? 744. Hymn 744, 1 and 2. Does that sound good? Okay. First stanza? Or it's just one stanza, isn't it? Yeah. Hymn 792.